Well, desire and interest in your prayers this morning. Appreciate each one that's pressed out. Have a little thought in my mind about our everyday life. Obviously, I want us to be successful in making heaven our eternal home. And I think about how much of our everyday life. Sorry here. I don't want that thing to go off. I think about our everyday life and how much it impacts our spiritual life. And there's so much. Routine, there's so much humdrum in our life that if we're not careful, we can allow the routine humdrum to overshadow the essence of life, our walk with the Lord. We can allow our obligations for food and shelter and clothing and our desire to be in a better place financially or whatever it is than maybe we grew up. I mean, if you grew up really, really poor, then maybe you have an extra urgency to try to provide things a little nicer than what you had. You remember the hardships and the discomforts of poverty or whatever it is. And it's so easy for all of that to have a negative impact on our walk with the Lord. So I want to talk about something that we all have some of, and some of us have a lot of. And that's our habits. I've got habits, and you've got habits, and sometimes we've heard the expression that we are creatures of habit. Noticed, read a little something recently about somebody was giving their insight of how to win at, you know, this little game that children will play sometimes, that you slap your hands together three times, and then the fourth time, whatever you do, you give some kind of sign. This is a rock, and this is scissors, and this is paper. I can't remember, you know. Or if you have a rock and you're playing this little game with has a scissors, then your rock smashes the scissors, and your paper covers rock, but scissors cut paper, and you know all that little game, and what is the winning sign at the end of that thing. Well, this little article was talking about how to win at rock, paper, scissors. And they were saying in there that if somebody won the little routine the last time with a rock, that the odds were that they were going to choose to come down with a rock the next time. They would have a habit or a tendency to do maybe the same thing that they won with the last time. Okay? So, the thing that I want us to think about this morning is how that all of us have a habit. I'm not talking about something that you're addicted to, although that's included in this. You go looking up the phrase creature of habit, and you'll find that some definitions are very, definitive about that, in that Their definition of a person, of a creature of habit, is one that has to do something at a specific time, a specific day, and if it doesn't happen, then, you know, everything is upside down. You know, whether it's eating a meal or performing some task or whatever it is, if it can't happen at a specific time, then it's like a national disaster. All right? Well, I believe we all are to some extent creatures of habit, but I'm not trying to say that all of us have this paranoia about having to do certain things at specific times. Maybe there's something in your life, only one thing, but it's extremely important to you. All right? So, I don't know if you realize this or not, but people with habits and routines are referred to, and you may think of this more than I have, more scriptures, but they are mentioned in the scripture. I didn't find the word habit or habitual or something like that in the scripture, but I did find another word that seems to imply a habit. I'd like for us to turn to Matthew, the 27th chapter, and notice a verse here. This is at the trial and the sentencing of Jesus. And in Matthew 27 and verse 15, it says here, "Now at that feast," this was the feast of the Passover, "the governor was wont," and this governor was Pilate, "was wont to release unto people a prisoner whom they would." Okay, so we know the rest of the story, how that Jesus was before Pilate, and it was at the feast of the Passover, and we were coming up to the Sabbath day, and which began at the sundown the day before. So we think of the new day beginning at maybe when the sun comes up, or at least at midnight, but they considered the new day beginning at dusk. Okay? So the Sabbath day began on Friday when the sun went down, basically. Alright, so it was wont, he says, "Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would." So this word wont, if you look this up in a dictionary, it's probably going to have to be an old dictionary, means a custom, habituated, using or doing customarily. In other words, this was a habit that had been developed. It was this governor's habit, and there's, you can read the commentators what they say about this verse, but it was not a custom in other provinces of the Roman Empire, but it appears to be a custom that was only here in the area of Jerusalem, in the Judean province of the Roman Empire, that this governor, Pilate, was wont, or he had made a habit of releasing one prisoner to the people at their choice, and I don't know what his technique was, if he brought all of the prisoners out that were to be executed, or that were in confinement, but we know that there were at least three, and there were two thieves that were crucified with Jesus, but there was another robber and murderer that was released, named Barabbas. All right, so we know that there was at least three there that day, but he had a habit. He had made a custom. And what is a custom? You know, you can have a custom in your home of getting up at a certain time, going to bed at a certain time. And he had made it a habit or a custom to release a prisoner. A prisoner. Now, this word "want" in my mind is pretty much parallel. Maybe you don't think it's exactly synonymous with it, but it's parallel at least with a habit that we would have or a custom that we would have in our lives. It had happened multiple times before this day that Christ was there. All right? This wasn't the first time this happened. I don't know if this custom predated Pilate or not. I don't know how long Pilate had been in office. Not sure. Don't know if there's any way I can find out. But you know, sometimes that's the way habits are in our lives. We have a habit of doing something or something, event taking place in our lives, and we don't really know, if we stop and think about it, we don't really know when it got started. So part of my thought here today is realizing that habits are not something that's out of our control. All right? This habit or this custom that was there in Pilate's jurisdiction was not something that happened in other places in the Roman Empire. And there are things that are not habits about our everyday lives. One of them is that we have to have some rest and some sleep. And now you may have a habit of sleeping at a different time than I do, but that doesn't mean that a habit is a sleep is a habit in itself. Okay, we all have to have nourishment, and you may eat one big meal a day. That's not my habit. I usually eat more than one time a day, preferably three, but it doesn't always happen that way. But your habits may be different, but all of us eat some kind of nourishment during the day. If we don't, it's more than a habit. There's something serious going to happen to us if we don't take in nourishment. Okay? So I want us to think about the habits that we have. The habits that we have control over. Sometimes we have to develop a habit that is required because of circumstances, and it's not a habit that we would necessarily choose, but we make it a habit anyway. Sometimes we have a job obligation that we have to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'm going to tell you that my habit in my life is that I'm still asleep at 5 o'clock in the morning. And some of you, maybe not. You have to be at work at 5. So if it is, then you've got to calculate how much time you've got to be awake before, so to allow you time to get to your job. So you can make a habit and adjust your life accordingly. And many times, if the husband has to be at work at a certain time, the whole family readjusts their lives to accommodate that. There was a time in my life that my father worked a shift from midnight to 8 in the morning. And all the time I was, before I could really remember my dad going to work, he worked this shift. He worked it for like 11 years, which was a long time to work that kind of shift. And every morning I grew up, it was a custom, it was a habit around my home. I never seen my dad in the morning because he was still at work. He didn't get home till 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, my mother would get us around and send us to school. My dad would come home, and his habit was he'd go to bed, and he'd sleep till 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They had one room in the house with all kinds of stuff over the windows so it could be dark, and he'd go in there and go to sleep. He'd sleep to about 1 or 2 in the afternoon and get up, and when we got home, Dad was there, and We done whatever needed to be done. He spent time with us. We done things in the yard. We might have chopped wood in the winter. We might have cut the grass in the summer or weeded the garden or whatever it was. We got around and we went to bed by 9 o'clock at the latest. That was late. And we had family worship and my dad went to bed. That was a custom in our house. And dad would sleep for couple hours and get up and he'd drive to work. He'd be at work at 12 o'clock. My dad slept two times every day. Now, how many of y'all do that? It was a habit. And he developed that habit because it was necessary. He wanted to spend time with his family, but yet he developed this habit out of necessity. And we've all done those kind of things. Maybe not quite exactly like that, but we've developed some kind of habits. I'm interested in us examining our habits in our life and asking the Lord to help us to adjust our habits to be the most beneficial for gaining our eternal reward. I want us to be, our habits to be most conducive to us being able to live a enjoyable life here. And also, we have to keep in mind the habits I allow myself to develop, that it's conducive to my spiritual growth also. Because I'm going to tell you, you can get into a habit of sleeping just as long as you can. And it can be interfere with you being able to spend time with family. It can interfere with you spending time for your soul. You can develop a habit, all kinds of habits. I'm speaking to myself just like I'm speaking to everybody else today. But we can get into a routine, a rut. We can feel like that we can't help ourselves, but if I really think if we'll draw back, it's different than needing sleep or needing food. It's a habit that we've developed, and we cultivate it. Now, old Pilate here had cultivated a custom, a habit, a routine. Once a year, we know the time's coming, and I'm sure that almost every year there was somebody that I don't think the people came together and says, no, I just think you ought to, you just keep them all. I think every year there was somebody that was the popular choice. We want that person released. Maybe it was somebody that had a large family, and this large family says, we're going to sway everybody here, do the best we can to get our brother or our son or whatever released this year from Pilate. We don't want to see him spend his life in prison or to be executed or whatever it would be. All right? So, today I want us to look at someone else that had a habit. I'd like to turn maybe to, let's turn to Daniel, the 6th chapter, and we'll notice someone that had a habit, and it was something he cultivated. Daniel, the 6th chapter, we'll start in verse 4. He said, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. And this was not the kingdom of God. This was the kingdom of Babylon. And the Medes and Persians. And it says, then they sought occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was any error or fault found in him. So in his work obligations, this man was impeccable. He crossed all of his T's. He dotted all of his I's. He was dependable. He done exactly what was expected out of him. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, we know that although Daniel is an incredibly diligent person in his job, we know that, you know, I think he was probably a man that was had a lot of habits, not just one. I think he had a lot of habits. I think that he was prompt. He made a habit of being prompt. I know this is somewhat of an assumption. He was a man that was very careful in maybe his words. He was careful with his actions. He was just a very admirable person in many aspects. And then I'd like for us to recognize, he says, the scripture says here, that these people realize they're not going to find anything unless they find a way to incriminate him in his habits with his God. All right? I put that word in there. Let's go down to verse 10. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," and that writing was that if they caught anybody praying to anything or anybody besides the king for a certain length of time, that they would be in violation of this law. So when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What does that tell us? To me, it tells us that Daniel had a habit of praying three times a day. And these people knew that. And they said, well, here's a place that we can cause a problem. We're trying to get Daniel in trouble, and here's a place that we can do it. So, that's what they capitalize on. Daniel had a habit of praying. Did you know, for us today, if we don't make and cultivate a habit of prayer, we won't pray? If we don't cultivate that habit, you know, the devil will interject a fussy baby. The devil, I'm not saying our children are devil possessed. That's not what I'm talking about. But he will interject a phone call, and it's not because it's the devil causing the person to call us. I'm just telling you, the devil will look for something to interrupt or find fault with our habits. You try to have family worship with the family, and the neighbor is liable to knock on the door and want to know if they can borrow a garden hose, or ask if you can come help them push their car out of the ditch, or whatever it is. So the point I want us to realize here is a habit to cultivate a relationship with the Lord is something that has to be guarded. There's a commitment. Daniel had a commitment. We know he had a commitment to this habit, because when the decree went out, Daniel kept true to his habit. He made a commitment. You're going to have to make a commitment to the habits that are conducive to your family being prosperous. And I'm not talking about money so much, but your family being prosperous and your soul being prosperous. We're going to have to make those commitments, like Daniel said. We're going to have to let other things fall to the side. It's time for us to have family worship. It's time for us to have prayer. It's time for us to go to service. It's time for us to prepare for whatever it is. But we're going to make the time. We're going to make the commitment and cultivate that. Make it a custom where other people, you know, my neighbors obviously don't come to church here, and I only know of a couple of them that go to church. Maybe more of them do, I don't know, but one of them that doesn't go to church ever, they do Sunday as just another work day for them. And but he respects us, and he has made various comments over the years now about, oh, well, I knew you were probably gone to church, and called me one time. He seen some suspicious activity close to our house, and I told him we was still. Oh yeah, he said I knew. We told him we was here at Webb City, and he said, "Well, I knew you was probably at church, but he said I just wanted to let you know that what this thing that was going on." And so we talked about it a little bit. But various times they know what our habits are. They know that if they see a strange car in our yard Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, they probably need to check on it because our habit is that we're not there. All right? So cultivating, making and cultivating and being committed to a habit that's aiming us in the right direction is very important. I'd like to turn now maybe to John, 3 John, and I believe it's the 12th verse. Third John is a small book over here towards the end of the New Testament. In the 12th verse of 3 John says, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Now John was saying, Demetrius has a good report of all men, those that are Christians and those that aren't. And he said, yea, and we also bear record. I know he's got some good habits too. And you know that our record is true. John was saying, I'm putting my reputation at stake here also. This man, Demetrius, has a good track record. He's got some good habits. So, a good habit. How do you start a good habit? Well, I think you have to see a need for the good habit. And then you've got to exercise great discipline. You know how much discipline it takes to pray 3 times a day like Daniel did? It takes a lot of discipline. You know how much discipline it takes to consistently have family worship with your family every day? It takes a lot of discipline. You know how much discipline it takes to have prayer every morning by yourself before you go to work? It takes a lot of discipline. It is so easy to get up and realize, oh, I should have got up when the alarm went off. I'll just scurry through this and scurry through that and boop, out the door I go. It's so easy to do that. And if you're not careful, that will be the habit instead of the habit of having prayer. It's so easy to do that. And Lord, help us. We feel like, well, if I'm late to my job, you know, I'll get some points, or if I'm late X number of times, you know, I could jeopardize my employment and all of these kind of things. Well, yes, that's true. But let's stop and think about it. I'm not advocating you being negligent in your responsibilities to your employment. But I am advocating that we cultivate a habit of being able to take time for the Lord and make that a habit. It's so easy to fall into a habit of not taking the time, of not discipline, of not being cultivating that experience with the Lord. It's so easy to fall into a routine. The typical scenario of men coming home from work and sitting down in their recliner and picking up the newspaper and being absorbed in a newspaper or something and not taking any time for the children. That could be become a real habit. I've known of that actually, you know, being fulfilled like that. Well, yeah, it's nice to be informed about what's going on. And today maybe you get on a news internet site and you spend however much time reading news events, and maybe there's nothing wrong with that. But if you allow that to be a habit, instead of cultivating a habit of spending time with children that you have in your home that you chose to bring here, many times the dividends in the end is not what you wanted. You want to I know how tempting it is to come home and you feel exhausted and you don't really want to do anything, but Lord, help us to press through that and cultivate habits. It's easy to maybe start something that needs to be done around the house and come home and you're tired. And maybe your wife even says, why don't you just take a break? You've been working hard today or what? You don't have... Oh, I'm not here to try to make anybody feel overcharged. I'm just telling you that it's easy, so easy to start a habit leading us down the wrong path. Yes. But it's much more difficult to start a habit that is elevating, that really brings the dividends that we want. Don't we want a stable home? Don't we want a spiritual, secure relationship with the Lord? I do. I do. And I'm going to tell you, it's so easy to develop a habit that is parasitic to that. That'll just suck the life out of my family. That'll suck the life out of my soul. Well, I'd like to read maybe a couple situations where Jesus had... Did you know Jesus had some habits while he was here? Let's go to Mark, the 10th chapter, and notice just a verse here that I believe tells us that Jesus has had a habit when he was here. Jesus, the 10th chapter of Mark, first verse, and he arose, this is referring to Christ, from thence, and came unto the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, remember what that word means? It means it was a custom, it was a habit that he had cultivated. As he was wont, he taught them again. Now, those of you that have small children, I want you to be encouraged. Those of you that will have small children and those of us that have grandchildren and all of that, I want us to be encouraged that with the habit of teaching again. Now, I don't believe he was just talking about here was another teaching session and he had a brand new lesson. Yes, that may have been true, but I think that Christ repeated some of his instructions over and over and over again. And when you have a little child coming on in your home, you're going to have to tell them over and over and over again, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, this is how what mama and daddy want you to do in this situation. It's over, and you cannot become exasperated completely. I know you will feel exasperation. You can't become completely exasperated about, I told them. And you may even have to discipline them because you told them before. But it's teaching again and again and again. And this is a habit that Jesus had. It says here, as he was wont. It's not Jesus' words, it's somebody else. It's... Some people feel like that the Gospel of Mark is Peter's Gospel, but whoever it was that was making the observation observed that Jesus had a habit of teaching. When the people come together, he didn't become argumentative or defensive, or he didn't tell them, "You got to give me some space now. This is you're just getting too close." He didn't do that. But he made a habit of teaching. He made a habit of not just teaching, but teaching again. I wonder how many times he taught them the same thing. Maybe it was even the same people in the crowd. And he taught them again and again. And here's why we do it. And here's what the kingdom of heaven means. And here's what it means to be part of the kingdom of heaven. And this is what I came to do. And I don't know what all he taught them. But we have to make a habit of teaching in our own lives. But Jesus was a man of habit too. And I'd like to go now to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And notice another habit. Now, this is at the very end of life here on this earth for Christ. And Jesus had been with his disciples in the what we would call the Last Supper. I want to read the 39th verse of Luke 22. He says, "And he came out and went as he was wont, as he was accustomed to, as he had done multitudes of times before, and as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him." So Jesus had a habit of going to the Mount of Olives, of going to a place that maybe the people didn't flock around him. So, you know, when you go down to the coast, that other setting was at the coast, wasn't it? When you go down to the coast, typically there's quite a broad expanse of real estate there. You know, people could, if you're coming up on the shore, there could be a multitude of people standing on the shore, and everybody had a pretty good line of sight to you. You know, you think about a seashore, and you think about the elevation coming out of the water and going up. And what do when we plan for some kind of auditorium for a speaker to be down at the bottom and the seats kind of go up the hill, you know? You ever thought about that? And you come up to the coast, maybe he's been in the boat and he comes up to the coast and Jesus steps out on the shore. Or sometimes he taught from the boat, didn't he? And the people standing on the seashore, and the people at the back row could see because they were standing on higher ground. But the Mount of Olives was different. Jesus went up to the top and the olive trees was all around. Maybe it's kind of thick woods. And if you're ever in the woods, it's kind of hard to get a line of sight. So maybe the people didn't congregate in the Mount of Olives. And Jesus could have some time alone. You know, not only do we have to have a habit of teaching, but we're going to have a habit that we cultivate of getting alone with the Lord. Lord, I need something. You know how I've been trying to... I've taught this lesson to my children. I've been trying to be the example to my spouse, or I've tried to express my concerns in a certain area. We've done this 7 times, and I don't know. Somehow it's not making connection. I need some time alone with the Lord to be able to reinforce. Lord, am I on the right track? Do I need to change my position? How do I do this? We need some time to connect. We need to make a habit of that. And we find here that Jesus had a habit of getting alone with the Lord. And this time, his disciples went with him. So my challenge to us this morning is I want us to really seriously examine our habits. What is your habits? Is my habit to shirk my responsibilities to see what I can get by with? You know, I've worked with people like that. And it's like, why are they here? They're looking like they make a habit of avoiding their responsibilities. Do I do that? Do I make a habit of being prepared for the day? Of being prepared not just for service, but yes, we need to have a habit of being prepared for service. You know, that's a real habit you got to cultivate. If you got a Sunday school lesson that you got to be prepared for Sunday after Sunday, I don't care how enthused you were for the first time, but a few years down the road, you're going to need to have a habit. You're going to have a habit of Lord, I need something. I need direction. I need inspiration. I need you to open up the thought here. I need to be able to know how to express this. Yes. You have to cultivate a habit. If you don't cultivate the habit, you're not going to be prepared. If you're not prepared for the day, your humdrum life, if you're not prepared, if you don't cultivate a habit of being prepared. I have no idea how many meals my wife has prepared. And sometimes I don't help her as much as I should, because I realize when she says, "What sounds good for supper?" she don't know what sounds good for supper. You know, and if I say, well, I don't really care, you just, whatever. That's not what she's looking for. She wants to know, well, do you want, sometimes she gives me some choices. And I've been trying to cultivate a habit of giving her some kind of answer, especially when she gives me a choice. If she says, do you want beef stroganoff or do you want spaghetti or something like that, I try to tell her what I would like. Even if something we've had 300 times, I try to give her some kind of input because I know that takes a load off of her, you see. But she's got to cultivate a habit of preparing meals. If she don't, we wouldn't eat very good. I do pretty good with peanut butter and crackers. And I might boil an egg, but outside of that, I'm not very good. So, but she has to cultivate that habit. I have to cultivate habits for the home to function. We have to cultivate habits, whether it's with our spending, with our time that we spend, at whatever activity it is, we've got to cultivate, we've got to plan to have a habit that's conducive for the end result that we want. If I don't cultivate a habit, if I don't make it a habit, and I think about old Pilate and the custom that he started, and I wonder why did he start that? This whole practice. I mean, if he caught somebody that was a thief and a murderer and a burglar, and you had him locked up, and the sentence was that he was going to be executed just before the Passover, that was the time of year we done executions or whatever. And you caught this guy red-handed doing it. Why would this man, why would Pilate cultivate a habit of turning somebody like that loose? The odds are that you're going to catch him at it again, right? I mean, that's what psychology would tell us, all right? You know, I think he had a reason. The Romans' rule over Judea, over the Israelite people, was oppressive. They taxed them. They asked things. They forced them into a lot of things. And you know, Pilate had to have some kind of desire for people to respect him. And I think Pilate was thinking, I don't, or maybe it was the guy before him. I think maybe they had, as Brother James Bell said one time, a horizontal thought. Maybe in his dreaming or something, he thought, you know, I wonder if there's some way that I could win some kind of an entrance into these people's mind to where they would accept me as just Pilate. I think felt like sometimes he was just the he was a man on the front lines being a representative to the Roman emperor. And how do I do this? Because these are just normal people, and I'm trying. They don't like this oppressive rule that's over them. How do I make it more palatable to them? And I think he had this idea. You know, if possibly I could give them the option of choosing to release a prisoner to them once a year or however often it was, maybe they would realize that I'm human too. And that I really would like to be somewhat of a respected individual in their sight. So I would just like to interject this. We think about old Pilate and how did he get this started. And you think about your situations in life. I don't know what all your situations are. But I know this, that if you will allow the Lord to help you, you can cultivate and start a custom, a habit that'll be beneficial to you. If you look around and you say, I don't like what's going on. And I don't know what it might be. It might be something with, you might have a habit of not paying attention in school. You might have a habit of falling to sleep at church. Or you might have a habit of whatever. I don't know what it is. But you begin to look at it and recognize, I don't like what it's doing to me. I don't like the feelings it produces. I don't like the reactions from other people. I don't like to get in trouble with my teacher. I don't like the boss to take me in the office and say, look, you know, this is four times this week you was 5 minutes late. I don't like people to do that to me. So what do you have to do? You realize if you've been 5 minutes late, you need to at least leave 5 minutes earlier. You know, you need to at least, you might be better to leave 10 minutes earlier so you could be there just in case, you know, something didn't go right. And how do you do that? Well, you're going to have to say, I got to get up earlier. Well, if you got to get up earlier, then maybe you ought to go to bed earlier. You know, I don't know what all the, but somewhere you're going to have to start looking and saying, I want this, just like Pilate or whoever it was that started that custom, said, look, I want some benefit out of this. And he started it. And he held to it. He made it a habit. He did it. Whether he felt like it or not. You know, I know that Pilate, when he asked them, do you really want me to release Barabbas? I think that he was, this is my words, but I think that he was saying, are you sure? This man over here, Jesus, I can't find any fault in him. Isn't that what Pilate said? I don't find anything wrong with him. And are you sure you want this thug over here? We caught him red-handed. More than likely, for the Romans to catch him and put him in prison and plan to execute him, more than likely somebody had complained. This man has taken advantage of my family. This man has stolen my goods, whatever it is. They went and complained to him. They went and arrested him, found him and arrested him. Now they got him here, and they're saying, turn him loose to us. We want that man. Pilate, I can just see him shaking his hand. Didn't he wash his hands? He said, folks, I'm not going to be held guilty for this one. Y'all are asking some unreasonable stuff. You know, Lord, help us to make a habit and stick with it and follow through with it, even when it's difficult. I know what it's like to get up when the alarm goes off and I don't want to get up. I feel like I'm waking up after I'm already up. I know what that's like. But Lord, help us with the habits that we cultivate, that we instigate, that we allow, that we fall into. You know, we can fall into bad habits pretty easy. Pushing the snooze and turning over. And then maybe hitting the off button and 20 minutes later, your spouse saying, hey, weren't you supposed to be at work early this morning? And it's like, oh, and you jump up and then what happens? All of those other habits that you had of taking time for the Lord usually gets dropped by the wayside. That's what happens. So Lord, help us. I'm not trying to tell us that we need to be such a creature of habit that, you know, if we don't wake up at 6:02 in the morning, that we're just in a bad mood all the day. That's not what I'm talking about. But we need to start cultivating habits that lead us to the end result that we want. And I'll tell you what the end result that I want. I want to be able to meet the Lord in peace. I want to know that the Lord, that Jesus is going to be at my defense. I want my home to be a safe, stable atmosphere. I don't want my home to be confusion and turmoil. I'm a person that likes as much order and neatness as possible. I know it's not always possible, but I like that. And that's what I want. That's why I try to make the habits that I do. And I want to challenge us this morning. You look in the scripture and you find those that had a good report of the men. Daniel had a habit. Jesus had habits. And I'd like to leave us with one verse in Matthew 7 and 20. And we'll close after this. Matthew 7 and 20. And some of Jesus' words. He says, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. How do people know us? A lot of times, by our habits. They know what your habits are. They know whether you go to service. They know, you know, I have a neighbor that usually when I leave for work, they're already gone. That's a habit that they have. Sometimes, by the time the sun goes down, especially in the summertime, their lights are out. They're going to bed. They got a habit of going to bed earlier because they get up earlier. So, Lord, help us recognize that, you know, people are making observations about my habits. What is my habit? How prepared am I for the responsibilities that I have in life? Lord, help me to be able to have the habits that I want the Lord to bless in my life. You pray for me.